I'm going to jump back to Nixon again. Let's just talk a little bit about him. This was in the 60s. It was before he ran again for president.
Yes.
He had been defeated by John Kennedy, and he had lost the governor's race.
Right. He had been defeated by Pat Brown.
In 62. So then he practiced law in between there, and so you went to work for him.
Yes. Mr. Nixon, after he left the vice presidency, an early supporter of his named Earl Adams had a prominent law firm in Los Angeles, and he invited Mr. Nixon to join the firm, Adams, Dukey, and Hazeltine, I believe it was called. And Mr. Nixon and Mrs. Nixon returned to Los Angeles. He ran for governor. He was defeated. He didn't want to stay in Los Angeles. He thought New York was the fast track. A man that had taken a great interest in his career put Mr. Nixon and this law firm, which was then known as Mudd, Stern, Baldwin, and Todd, together. And Mr. Nixon moved to New York in October 63 before the president died in Dallas. And I joined him in January and was there till the National Convention. He had two research assistants. One was in Washington. I was in New York. Rosemary Woods, his longtime personal secretary, Loie Gaunt, who's still alive, and Shelley Scarney, who became Mrs. Patrick Buchanan. That's how I got to work for him.
How did you get the job?
He, in his letter to me, and I had no previous association with him. I mean, I'd written him a couple of times and in the past and met him a couple of times, but he wouldn't know who I was. He had read something that I had written. And he just wrote me out of the blue. He said, I've taken on some writing assignments, and a mutual friend gave me this item that you had written, and I was interested in it. If you would be interested in being my research assistant, call me, and I'll fly you to New York for an interview.
How old were you?
I was 23. I later found out, though, that was not untypical of Mr. Nixon. He hired a lot of young people just based on either meeting them or reading something they had written. His last assistant, Monica Crowley, who's now a television commentator for Fox, I read her book about Mr. Nixon, and she got her job the same way I got mine. He read something.
What was it he read of yours, you recall?
Yes, he read 200,000 Votes, Lost, Strayed, or Stolen. And I worked for the Republican Party of Texas. I was actually a paid staff employee. There weren't many of us, but I was one of them. And I had developed this theory that Mr. Nixon and Mr. Lodge had carried Texas, but had been counted out by a very unusual ballot maneuver that the Democrats had passed in the legislature in 1959. Which was thereafter repealed. The 1960 election was the only one where it was used. It attracted Mr. Nixon's interest because Earl Mazo, who had written the first biography of Mr. Nixon when he was vice president, had been hired just recently to be the first political reporter of the New York Times, I mean, with that title, since Jim Hagerty, who had been political reporter before he became Governor Dewey's press secretary, and his father had been political reporter. Mr. Mazo was working on a book that had as its thesis that Mr. Nixon had carried Illinois and Texas but been counted out and was rarely elected president. So Mr. Nixon sent Earl a copy of the paper. I know that because I later saw the letter and made a copy of the letter and said, this fella, I forgot now what he said, seems sharp or smart or something. Why don't you and he collaborate on the book? Well, then when the president was assassinated, there was no interest in a book that John F. Kennedy hadn't been elected president. So my theory was that Mr. Nixon simply discouraged that idea and brought me on as his research assistant.
Talk about Nixon, the person. You were around him a lot. What kind of a person was he, and how did he treat you, this young 23-year-old assistant?
Well, he was very gracious to me, as was Mrs. Nixon. Mr. Nixon was a handsome man. I had met Senator Kennedy before he became president. I thought it was a cruel twist of fate. Mr. Nixon was not camera friendly. The camera never really caught what I thought was a very handsome man. He was tall. He was slender. He had that curly, wavy black hair. He had very piercing eyes, a ready smile, and he had that famous ski nose. Unfortunately, Mr. Kennedy, a lot of the time, looked like a person taking cortisone. I mean, he was kind of bug-eyed, and his skin kind of had an unnatural pallor. But there were other times, he was a very handsome man. But Mr. Nixon was always that way. He always dressed conservatively. I don't recall ever seeing him in shirt sleeves, and I don't recall ever seeing him without a tie. He worked at his desk. He had the same thing for lunch every day, unless he was eating out, which was cottage cheese with ketchup. I thought, God, what a diet. He was very cordial to people that had been in politics with him but really couldn't help him. I mean, they'd come by to see him, and he would spend the time with them, serve them tea. He had an open-door policy. After I left his employment, I would say he wrote me maybe once or twice a year. I came back at the very end to help his legal effort in the impeachment struggle, and his family was kind enough to invite me to his funeral. My wife and I agreed that I would take our youngest son. The truth of the matter is, my work or employment with him meant everything to me. I can't really say that I helped him any. I mean, I was the beneficiary of that. As I would apply for jobs or positions, people would read my resume and they'd say, "You work for Dick Nixon?" And I'd say, "Yes." And I think half the time they didn't believe me. So they'd call Rosemary Woods. And finally, I asked Rosemary, I said, "Why don't you just write me a letter? Because you must be tired of these phone calls occasionally." So she sent me a letter, you know, "Dear Stephen, this is to confirm," et cetera, et cetera. I still have the letter. He and Mrs. Nixon, on occasion, gave me his seats at the opera, the Lincoln Center, took me to lunch, always asked about me. When I was defeated for a couple of political offices, he wrote me a nice letter. A very smart man.